Hey everyone, and welcome to the March update for Hanover Happenings. Dust off the mud on your boots and join me for this month's update. In it, we'll be covering some business from the select board meetings in March. This includes updates on Hanover Community Power, our collective bargaining unit contracts, acceptance of some unanticipated revenues, we made some appointments, and thanked some retiring employees. We also have a big budget update, which is that as of March 28th, the select board unanimously approved the budget, which the finance committee unanimously voted to support the next day on March 29th. And I'll come back to the budget and give a short update there in a few minutes. So the first is Hanover Community Power. So most of you have probably heard of this at this point. Hanover Community Power is part of the Community Power Coalition of New Hampshire, which is a cooperative of a dozen or so municipalities and growing. And these municipalities are buying power together, using their collective purchasing power to get better rates and better renewable content. Hanover residents are largely opted in by default into one of the four new options that are available to you. And that default option has a lower rate and slightly higher renewable content than what you get by default from Liberty or Eversource currently. You can also opt up to the Clean 50 or Clean 100, or you can opt down if you're cost sensitive and save a little bit more. And so this doesn't change who you call when your power goes out or who your bill comes from. And you can learn a little bit more about this. There was a public meeting that was held April 6th at the Richmond Middle School, and that was on Zoom as well, and that video will be online at our website, as well at hanover.communitypowernh.gov. You should have received a postcard in the mail, but you can reach out to us or to Sustainable Hanover, or head to that website to find more information about getting everything set up the way you want it. So this is an exciting program that a lot of people have worked really hard on getting to this point, and that includes my predecessor, prior town manager, Julia Griffin. That includes April Salas, our sustainability director, Sustainable Hanover, our director of public works, and a whole bunch of other folks in Hanover and in New Hampshire. And so a huge thank you to everybody who has put in a tremendous amount of time over years to get this program off the ground. Oftentimes, some of the most impactful programs like this that are helping us get closer to our Ready for 100 goals, these are not things that happen quickly. They take many years, and we really appreciate all of the work from everybody to get it to this point. In March, at our select board meetings, we also held several public hearings to accept unanticipated funds, such as for the lead service line inventory and replacement plan for large community water systems. This is a grant, and these amounted to $50,000 and a little over $200,000, which was representing a one-time bridge payment. And so both of those we accepted. We also adopted new contracts for each of our three collective bargaining units. These units represent our employees at police, fire, and public works. Now, this is a tough year to negotiate contracts, and I really thank our unions for working so collaboratively with us. We had some ground to make up for them and our staff in Hanover, and we tried a few new things this year in just how we kind of engaged. For example, meeting with all three unions together at the beginning of the process to try to create a little bit more interactivity. We also held three meetings for all employees, regardless of union membership or not, where people could just come ask questions and hear others' questions and concerns and just have open conversations about what our compensation plans for staff was as we were working through the budget process. We're confident the offers that we made were strong offers and that helped take a big step in the right direction to make Hanover really an employer of choice. Within about a month or so, we had some great conversations with the bargaining units and finalized the terms, which have been approved and worked into the budget, which has now been approved to move on to town meeting. And the short story, and there's more detail in our budget slides, is that employees are generally receiving a 5% cost of living increase that helps keep up a little bit with the high inflation that we are all facing. If employees are eligible for their existing 2% step raises, they are able to do that. And then we also provided a one-time payment that varies a bit per union and level of employment, but generally around $1,000 or $1,500. And although that's just a one-time payment, the nice thing for staff is that that is paid out at once at the beginning of the fiscal year. And some of those numbers vary a little bit from union to union, and you can check all the contracts that were approved on our website if you want to go a little bit more into that. But a few other things I'll mention about that, because these are things that we are rolling out for our staff in the next fiscal year, is that we expanded the critical staffing policy that was in place at the police department to all of our departments. This is largely a self-funding program when there is a prolonged vacancy in a certain position. And so that means that we're saving a little bit of the money by not paying out that salary. What we then are doing now is once that critical staffing exists, and that has to be approved by the department head and myself, we then offer employees who have to pick up the extra work by that position being vacant an additional payment. This also empowers the department heads to make a one-time stipend offer as a bonus to hire people. And so we hope that that will help a little bit fill some of these vacancies and also help compensate some of the employees in those same classes where the vacancies exist, that really just some of these jobs, the same amount of work needs to be done regardless of how many employees are in the positions. And so some of that has been hard on some of our employees. We also instituted a referral bonus program across the organization. So that's if someone who does work here refers somebody to come work here. We're creating a small merit-based pool to try out a sort of new merit-based program to reward employees for kind of self-initiated projects that go above and beyond. We froze the healthcare contributions at last year's level. So basically people don't get punished by getting a small raise that kicks them into a higher payment bracket. And our analysis of that did show that that was going to happen to a number of staff. And that, so it actually would have been less overall. We're offering a new paid family leave program, which is something we don't offer currently. This is a new program that's available through the state. And then we're also getting started on a broader retention and recruitment study this year that we've been talking about since we began our salary study last year. And this is where we are reviewing and analyzing basically every step of the employment process, from identifying department needs to recruiting employees, onboarding, retaining people, advancing them, and offboarding people when they retire or leave for another job. So we're going to look at kind of each step of the process, review job descriptions, department divisions, compensation, benefits, all that kind of stuff. And I really want to thank all of our staff again and our unions, our HR staff, our labor attorney, as well as support from the select board. This was, again, I think this is a challenging year just with all the labor dynamics and economic conditions and inflation. And I think we took a good step together, and we have a little bit more to do to catch up a little bit and also, again, really make Hanover the employer of choice that is the goal for us to be. We did some other business in the meetings, in our select board meetings. All that's available in the agenda and minutes section on our website at hanovernh.org. We made some appointments, so congratulations, Christine McDevitt, to the planning board. And we accepted a gift of $100 from John and Huntley Hashigan in memory of Hank Smith to the Aetna Library. We also thanked Bernie Hazlett, a public works employee of over 40 years, four decades, for his service to the town. We wish Bernie the best in his retirement. Now, on to a short budget update. So on March 28th, the select board approved a budget with a municipal tax rate, this is including the general and fire funds, of $4.42 per $1,000 valuation. That is up from $4.15 last year. That is a 6.51% increase over last year's tax rate. This budget includes incredibly lean spending by our departments in non-personnel expenses, even facing rising costs in a lot of those areas, from construction materials to chemicals to contracted services. The budget includes not fully funding some of our larger and longer-term obligations that we're going to need to catch up on a little bit over the next few years, such as the payments made for accrued time off when employees retire. Although we added a little bit into our budget to start funding some of these obligations this year, it's not to the level that we would really like to. Of course, this year isn't the budget year to add more in beyond what's really needed, but that is going to require a little bit of work over the next few years. Again, the budget was kept pretty lean with the goal of reserving as much available funds to provide for the staff compensation increases. This budget does include well over $1 million, about $1.5 million in additional compensation costs, and that is wages and benefits, everything that I mentioned before. This is much needed to help us catch up a little bit, as I mentioned earlier. But we've had a lot of turnover in our organization over the last couple of years. Last year, more than 40, not counting some of the seasonal positions that come and go, we had over 40 people who started and left jobs last year. And we do have some growing vacancies in key positions right now, including in Public Works and Parks and Rec. And so the budget includes all those additional compensation pieces that I mentioned before. The budget also includes an addition of one full-time employee in dispatch. This is in communications of police. This is correcting a safety issue that had been pointed out by consultants that did a study about this for the town in 2017. And this was basically to correct the issue of having only one dispatcher on the overnight shift at the police department. The consultants pointed this out in 2017, but last year there was a medical emergency that really illustrated the necessity of making this change. So making sure that we had that shift staffed with two people, which protects our staff in the building and in the field, and helps protect the people who live in the 20 communities that we dispatch for. So even in a tough budget year, this was not a hard decision to add that position into the budget. Also added a full-time employee to our clerk's office. In the past, we were extremely fortunate to have Betsy McLean, who many of you I'm sure know, as our town clerk and the director of administrative services and finance. When she retired from those positions, she really did a lot for the town, and the town never quite kind of fully reorganized how those positions were set up, not being under the kind of umbrella of one person anymore. And our town clerk and Betsy, who came back as a deputy clerk, really spent an incredible amount of time on last year's elections, as did our supervisors and our staff in town hall. Now, considering the increased scrutiny on elections, some of the changing rules at the state level, the inherent challenges of managing elections in a college town, and the importance of working out every possible kink, which includes beta testing some new voting machines in a partnership with the Secretary of State's office that we are doing this spring for town meeting. All these things need to be worked out before 2024. And so we thought it was really important to add a full-time equivalent to that position to help support all of those processes and set us up for success. This person is also slated to fill a few roles that we don't quite have a point person internally for, such as handling and managing right-to-know requests and managing our records and records retention policies and activities, and to oversee a move to a more digital and less paper-based record system. So there's a lot that we need there, and this full-time person would be helping supervise some staff, work on the election pieces, oversee administrative services, and provide some of those records and a few other functions that we're looking for. So we have a set of summary slides on our website at hanovernh.org/budget. And so if you want to go into a little bit more details in those slides, which is probably about a 20-minute or so read through, we show some of the key cost drivers in this year's budget and over the next few years. We look at some categories of spending in each of our seven funds and each of our departments within the general fund, and looking at last year's and this year's. We have a bunch more numbers in there if you want to go through all of that. We also talk a little bit about the need for creating a more kind of interactive goal setting and strategic planning process to help ensure that we are doing things like effectively translating the changes that are coming through the planning board from the Sustainable Master Plan Advisory Committee to town meeting on a whole range of zoning and land use issues. And fortunately, we have a few different goals that are dovetailing with each other, which is really about looking 5 to 10 years ahead and identifying that we have a need to find ways to bring new revenue into our budget. And cutting costs or just simply raising taxes is not really a sustainable way to do that. It's already a high tax burden, and we want to make Hanover more affordable to live in, not less, over time. But if we think about a couple different things, which we go over in more detail in the slides, even just say 2% inflation over the next 5 years, that number on our budget means that we need to find $3 million of new revenue to cover that. And that's just for 2% inflation. And it's probably going to be more than that, as we know. We don't have sources identified to raise that revenue so that it doesn't all fall on the burden of existing taxpayers. And of course, cutting millions of dollars out of our budget, that is, there's no operational efficiencies that could save that much money. There's definitely some areas of improvement that we can look at, but something that large could only be accomplished from a cost-cutting standpoint by eliminating a service, closing a program, something like that. And we have not gotten the guidance that that is what the community, what town meeting, what the select board is interested in. That's not the direction that folks are going in at this point. And so we need to think, open up a little bit of a broader conversation about how to create new taxpayers that can help reduce the burden on existing taxpayers. And that is accomplished largely through really smart and careful development that also will help us meet the goals from the Master Plan Committee, which is some of the goals and values that are being developed and identified through that. That have led to some of the proposed zoning regulations that will be at town meeting this year. A lot of that is about, for example, helping address the major housing issues in our community and region. That's really challenging the affordability of the community, and it's really hindering employers and their ability to bring in employees into industries where people have been retiring, such as in childcare, healthcare, education, and government. Some really important ones. And this is, of course, something that's come up a lot in our conversations with downtown business owners as well. And so all of these goals are really fortunately aligned, which is basically being a little more intentional, a little more proactive, looking towards the future about what we do or don't want to develop in Hanover. And this just requires connecting some dots, having soliciting some broader community feedback before we begin building next year's budget, so we can kind of understand how we translate some of these broader goals into specific policy and program priorities that we can make sure to build the budget to be responsive to. And so we're hoping to bring more stakeholders together in the budget process next year. So stay tuned for a little bit more on that. That is something that will come on the heels of also evaluating kind of this budget process in this year and what we did well, what we want to learn from for next year. And so especially with myself and our finance director being so new, the process is very much in flux, and people's feedback from the public, from the select board, from the finance committee, will have a very large impact on how we go about things in subsequent years. But if you want to go into more detail, you can find that on our website. You can also do things like watch all of the presentations from each of the departments about their budget and their goals for this upcoming year and what they accomplished last year. And if you want to dive really deep into the numbers, we do have a bunch of different spreadsheets that we've made available this year. So this includes the spreadsheet that the finance director and I used to actually put the budget together. And you can kind of see the same exact information that we're looking at. We also include a full debt service schedule going out to the life of all of the current debt and proposed debt that we're talking about this year, because we do have several, three different bond issues that are proposed this year, and those are for large projects at water, wastewater, and fire. We have some spreadsheets that include our capital improvements plan for this year and also 6 years out. As well as a little bit of a more detailed way to track our undesignated fund balance for each of our different funds. So if you really want to dive into the details, there's a lot there. And over the last month, between our initial budget presentations and the final approved budget, Ellen, our finance director, and myself, we answered over 160 questions and concerns and corrections and suggestions that we incorporated into the budget. And those came from the public and select board members, and a lot from the finance committee, who we really valued working closely with to build this budget. And so especially with Ellen and I being new, it was amazing to get to work with everybody in those couple weeks, making revisions to the budget. All of those updates that we provided are all, we tried to detail every step. It's a lot of detail on our website. So if you really want to go through and kind of see the process from start to finish, You know, we want you to be able to do that. And if you have any questions or ideas or thoughts, please feel free to reach out to me, alex.torpy@hanovernh.org. We'll probably put out some more information before town meeting. But if there's something specific that you or your neighbors want to know more about, please reach out to me. Ellen and I will be happy to speak with you or share more information. So really appreciate you listening and engaging in the budget process. You can find everything I talked about just now at hanovernh.org/budget. And we look forward to seeing everybody at town meeting, if not before then. So thank you.